listening to Italian Dish, and I'm your host, Christine. I'm an expat here in Italy. In each episode, we'll cook one Italian recipe together, and I'll dish a little bit about what it's really like living here in Italy. So, put on your apron, pour yourself a glass of wine, and let's get cooking. Ciao a tutti, benvenuti nella mia cucina. Hi guys, and welcome to my kitchen. All right, so it's a rainy, cold, dreary October morning, and what better to make than something warm and delicious for dinner? So I'm gonna get started with today's recipe, which is really fascinating. While I was researching this recipe, the origins of this recipe, which I'll tell you about later on, I, of course, found out a really interesting story. I also found out that this recipe, this dish, goes by several different names. So I first heard about this dish when I was traveling to Lucca, which is another town, medieval town here in Tuscany, where I was reading about restaurants to go to and things to try, and I came across an article that recommended trying oh my gosh, I'm never going to get the accent right. Cecina. One of them is a city, the other one is this dish, so forgive me for that little gaffe, but I always forget the two, which one is which. I also saw on the internet that this goes by Socca? I don't know. It's like so what we're making is a savory chickpea pancake, is the way I think of it. It's kind of like in Italian you might also call it a torta salata, which is like a savory tart. And excuse my voice, I sound a little bit raspy just because it is early morning and I'm trying to get this done before my baby wakes up. So my voice is what it is. But the most famous of all names for this recipe is actually farinata di ceci. And it is surprisingly easy to make. It is made with chickpea flour, water, olive oil, and salt. And that's basically all you need to make the basic version. I've seen versions online with zucchini or with, like, I use rosemary on it a lot. You can kind of, you know, choose your own adventure in the final stage of this as far as how you want to serve it or how you want to doctor it up. But today we'll just be making the plain version with a little bit of rosemary. So let's get started. We've got our chickpea flour, which I've weighed out before. Just adding that to a really big bowl. And you really need chickpea flour for this. You can't do it with regular flour. You would come up with a totally different thing. So, but because we're using chickpea flour, it's naturally gluten-free and also vegan, vegetarian, like the whole gamut. So this is a great recipe to have up your sleeve if you've got people coming over. It's really tasty and like sfizioso, so it's kind of like a treat. So I recommend making this. So then we're going to add the water. And if you don't have a recipe, a little trick when you are making this is on our blog post, which if you want to be a part of the cooking club, for the Italian Dish podcast, you should join our Patreon, where every week since we release a new episode, we also release the recipe for the episode and more details about it, you know, written stuff, photos, all that good stuff. So definitely think about that if it's something you're interested in, if you enjoy the podcast, and we'd love to have you on board. I've just added all the water to the chickpea flour, and I've got a whisk, and I'm going to... There goes some scooters this morning. I'm going to whisk all of these little clumps out, or try. Just give it a good whisk. And the reason I'm starting this in the morning is because you really need to let this sit. It's like batter. And it will hydrate the chickpea flour. The water will hydrate the chickpea flour, and it just takes a while. It's a slow ordeal. So when I say you need to let it sit, I'm doing this before going to work for dinner tonight. So you can do this, prepare this the night before and get this ready, over, let it sit overnight. At least, I would say, at least 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. I've tried to make it right away, and I can tell you guys the result is different. So I just highly recommend letting it sit. So now that I've got everything pretty mixed in, there's no more like visual clumps. I'm just going to cover it with a kitchen towel. You can cover it with plastic wrap if that's your deal. I'm trying to use less plastic. It's a difficult journey in Italy, but here we are. And so I've got a kitchen towel here. I'm just going to cover it. It's literally it. And I'll get back to you guys later with some stories about the origins of Farinata di Ciechi and with the rest of the prep. So I'll see you later. So let's get this all ready and in the oven. And while it's baking, I'll tell you a little bit of a story about how this recipe came to be. So I uncovered the bowl, and if you look at what's in the bowl, the batter will look just like straight up gold liquid on top. That's okay, that's normal. The water will have separated it from the chickpea flour. We're gonna go ahead and mix that later on. But first, before you do that, if you notice any little like bubbles on the top of the surface of the water, you can take a slotted spoon right now and sort of skim those off the top. It's not, you know, any sign of anything good or bad. It just maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. I've really got like one bubble. It's really not necessary or indicative of the quality of your chickpea flour or anything. Like, I've kind of got nothing going on. So I told you that because other times I've made it, that does happen, and in the recipe, that's just a provision that you should be aware of. So now that I've taken those little bubbles off, skimmed those off the surface, I'm gonna get my whisk again and sort of recombine the chickpea flour with the water. And now it's kind of more like pancake colored, like a creamy, golden yellow. Maybe not quite golden. It's like pancake batter colored, I'd say. And I've got my oven heated up, and I've preheated it already. So if you haven't, go ahead and do that already. Do that now, actually. So about your oven temperature, I did not know this until recently, but oven temperatures vary very greatly from oven to oven. You want to just, whatever your oven is, set it at the highest temperature possible and let it heat for a long time. Like, let it preheat until it's very, very preheated. It takes a while for an oven to fully heat up to temp. And whatever the reading is, just go for the hottest temperature. This recipe is traditionally made in a wood fire oven, so whatever your home convection oven is, or whatever type of oven you have, basically the best way to simulate that is just crank it up to the highest temperature and let it rip. So let's finish. The only other things we need to add to this batter before we start baking off our individual farinata di ciechi is we need to whisk in the salt and the olive oil. So I've got my kitchen scale here. I'm going to add in our olive oil. And I've got this olive oil that I got from what's the word for that in English? Kind of like an olive grove where they press their own olive oil near where we were on vacation in southern Tuscany this summer. So I tried this oil earlier today. It's really good. And with this few ingredients, I hate to sound like Ina Garten yet again, but make sure you're using the highest quality ingredients that you have access to, just because you can really taste the difference. And that's not to be snobby. It's just the facts. I mean, there's literally chickpea flour, water, olive oil, and salt in this. So you want to make sure it tastes good. All right, so I've got the olive oil in. I'm going to add the salt. If I can get the salt out. Of this little box. I'm not using super fancy salt or anything, but I do have some sea salt, and then I'm going to use some pink salt just because I like it. My husband's convinced that pink, like Himalayan salt, is better for you. Like, it's in what way? It's all salt. I don't know. Do you guys have any insight on that? If you do, let me know. I'd love to put that argument to rest. All right, so I'm going to whisk in the olive oil and the salt so that gets dissolved. And as you go and make each individual pancake, the water will continue to like separate as well, like the oil. So make sure you have your whisk handy throughout because you're going to want to continue to whisk so that everything's sort of homogenous each time you bake off one of these pancakes. All right, so I've also got a lot of olive oil in my pan that I'm going to bake this in. You should note about that. This is also all detailed in the blog post for those of you that are part of my Patreon that can see all that. Again, the fact that it used to be cooked in a wood-fired oven, we want to get the highest heat possible. So we're going to put this, once we like pour it into the pan and put the pan in the oven, we're going to stick it at the base of the oven. Not the lowest rung of the racks, but like literally on the floor of the oven. I'm using my cast iron skillet just because that's what I know will get the hottest. If you have like an aluminum baking tin or like a pie tin, basically, that'll work fine too. Don't worry about it. Just as long as it's oven safe for those really, really high temperatures. So now I'm just going to take my bowl and pour in the first pancake amount. And I'm just like covering the base of the pan without, you know, not making it too thick because I want a thin pancake. So I'm going to stick this out the floor of the oven, like I said, for about, that oven is hot. So be careful. Stick that in for about 10 minutes, 8 minutes or so, 8 to 10 minutes. And then we're going to transfer it to the middle rack of the oven for another like 15 or so. So again, cook times are going to vary here. Each oven is unique. Each cookware is unique. Like if I'm using cast iron, I'm probably going to have a different result than you if you're using aluminum. Just stick around and be available to check on it. You'll know it's done when it looks all like crispy and slightly golden brown on top. So while that first one is baking in there, I wanted to tell you guys what I read about the origins of this recipe and how it came to be. Because I was looking for something, I had tried this before, like I said, when I originally visited Lucca in Tuscany, when we were just like traveling around after my wedding with my husband, my new husband at the time, and my mom, dad, and sister. And we were just like looking for, you know, things to do. And I ended up finding this little street food restaurant that was recommended. It was highly recommended. And they were famous for their farinata di ciechi. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds cool. I don't know what it is, but fine. And it turns out it's this, like I said, it's like this vegan chickpea flour. I call it a pancake. I guess in Italian, you might think of it more as like a frittella or torta salata. So it's like a savory tart, tart, of sorts. I mean, it's a unique kind of thing. Of course, it is vegan since it's only made with chickpea flour. So it's like, is this a new thing? No. I was very shocked to find out that this recipe is really, really old and that the origins of it are actually really antique. And so basically it dates back to the time in Italy's history when there were these repubbliche marinare, or sort of like maritime republics and kingdoms, if you will. So if you're not aware of Italy's geography, I'm here in Tuscany, which is kind of like central Italy. I'm here in Florence, as I talk about many times, but up northwest of here, along the coast, there's a famous port city in Italy called Genova, or Genoa in Italy. And it's known most famously, I guess, nowadays for Festa la Genovese, so like what Americans or I guess other foreigners would consider just like typical green basil pesto. But they're also famous for this this other dish, farinata di ceci. So this is like a street food. I mean, even today, like I told you about my experience in 2016, you can find this as like a street food. But the origins of this dish date back to 1284. way long time ago, when Genova beat Pisa, the town of Pisa, also located in Tuscany, in the Battle of Meloria. And on the return trip back from this battle, the Genovese, like, ships found themselves in the midst of a really intense storm, sea storm. And what happens in a sea storm? Stuff falls all over the place. Not that I've experienced this personally, but I have seen, you know, several media representations of what it's like to be in the midst of a storm at sea. So I guess what happened according to legend is that a bunch of barrels of olive oil and chickpea flour sort of fell over and got mixed, along with obviously salt water from the sea. And since they were running low on provisions, they were returning back from a battle. So imagine they're trying to make it home, trying to, you know, get back to their home base, stock up again, maybe go back to battle. I don't really know the exact circumstances of that battle and the history there, but I'd be curious to find out. If you do know, please inform me. I'm curious. So they're low on provisions, and they're like, oh, all of our oil and our chickpea flour is all spilled over. What can we do to sort of, like, make do with this and make it into a meal? Because we've got to eat it somehow. We can't let it go to waste. They, I guess, like, gathered up the mix. I don't know how they did this, because that would form, like, a liquid. I'm just, like, really curious about how this actually went down in 1284. But according to the legend, they let it all sort of mix together and dry in the sun. And, of course, the Italian sun is really intense. And I'm imagining if this was in summer, on the deck of a ship, this sort of batter would quickly form a sun-baked pancake. And so the sun sort of dried it up and made it into... This is actually kind of sounding gross, but trust me, the version you'll make at home is actually delicious. So the sun dried it up and it made it into this little, like, chickpea pancake, which they ate and enjoyed. And I'm sure they, you know, in the tales of their... regales of their battle glory, they returned home, and not only did they have the victory over Pisa to recount as their victorious tales to their families and to their community, they also had this experience of having to eat this, like, chickpea flour, sun-baked, sea salt water, olive oil pancake thing. And I'm sure the, like, wives of these, or, you know, the families of these people were like, what? That sounds crazy. Like, you really had to do that? But then they tried to recreate it, and as a sort of way to make fun, like, poke fun at the losers of Pisa, since they lost the battle, they started calling it l'oro di Pisa, so, like, Pisa's gold, basically. And I just find that so funny. Like, they were so sarcastic even back in the day, like, oh, look at you guys, you're such losers, and we won, and here's our chickpea pancake. But yeah, so I just thought that was a really interesting story. I love learning about little details like that, that it's history and it's culture and it's also food all mixed together. And I'm sure that was pretty, like, unique of a story of how this came to be. And you know, from there, it sort of diffused throughout Italy into various versions. It's known by several different names, like I tried to pronounce for you guys earlier, and struggled and failed. But, yeah, so I hope you enjoyed that story, and I hope you enjoy your farinata di ceci. Like I said about serving it, I'm just going to use some fresh rosemary leaves and sprinkle those on top, a little bit of extra salt. I just love it plain. You can definitely feel free to, like, doctor this up in whichever way you desire. I've seen people do this with little zucchini rounds. It might be good with, like, zucchini flowers on top. You know, next summer, if I can remember that, I will try and do that, since zucchini flowers are no longer in season in October. But, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed this little trip down memory lane with me, with my experience eating farinata di ceci in Lucca. Whenever you go, ciao! Thank you for listening to this episode of Italian Dish. If you enjoyed this recipe and know someone else who loves Italian food, share it with them. Buon appetito, ragazzi, and until next time, alla prossima, ciao, ciao!